Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Live from Brothers Barbecue off I-25 in Arapahoe, it's Stokely and Zach. Here's Brandon Stokely and in for Zach by today, DenverFan.com's James Marillac.
The War Room Training Camp Edition is in the book. Stoke, you and I are sticking around here to take us home to 3 o'clock. That was some good heated banter going on in that War Room. I've been fortunate enough to be on a few.
I've been a part of a lot.
Really good discussions. It was good. There's a lot about this team that I think is really intriguing, both good and bad. So there was plenty of topics to go around. It made for a good 2 hours. It flew by.
It did. Like I said, I've been a part of a bunch of them, almost all of them. And that one got a little heated.
That's at the
top of the list. I think I'm trying to think. We've had one or two other ones kind of that have gotten maybe not to that degree earlier. But that one, Nate and Nick, there's some history there that I didn't quite know about.
Me either.
Fun. It was entertaining, right?
It was fun. Those guys were great. Mike did an awesome job driving the ship and, kind of navigating us through all of that. One of the things that we discovered while we were doing the show during a commercial break, if you're so inclined that you want to, wager on some things or have a feeling on this Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater situation that you want to invest in your feelings.
Right.
You could do that,
yeah,
right?
There's places to go.
Up until today, because all of a sudden that prop bet, you think it's going to be Drew Lock, you think it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater or other, taking the first snap week one at the Giants is no longer on the board. I think that's an interesting development. They don't take things down for no reason.
No, it's very telling. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was D-Mac's tweet yesterday.
And what was his tweet?
That just kind of saying that, Teddy, Drew was getting those first team reps, and that it looked like there might be an announcement, And not sure the rhyme or reason, but certainly, they don't just take things off just to take them off. I don't know if they think something might be imminent here and might be happening here quickly, and they don't want to get caught on the wrong side of this thing. Just not sure, but it's very interesting to just see that thing gone all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, typically how it works, right? They want to get the equal amount of money on both sides. So when something comes down, it's because it's leaning so far in one direction that you almost can't get anybody to take the other side. It didn't feel like it was going that much toward Drew.
This shouldn't have been. I don't know after the game though. But if you were there day in and day out like we were,
yeah,
you. I mean, this thing was back and forth.
Without a doubt.
Like in my mind, I think Teddy has a slight lead, but. Look, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Drew got the job. I mean, and then especially after the game. But a lot of people saw the game. They don't see what we saw. So I don't know. Maybe they got a ton of action on Drew Lock and just wanted to take it down. Not sure why they took it down, but it's interesting.
Well, you and I just made our wager 2 days ago. I mean, we're 48 hours removed from our dinner bet where I took Drew Lock. You took Teddy Bridgewater. I offered you a chance to cash out yesterday.
You did. Oh, you offered me that again today?
You said no. I probably will offer it again today, but the cash out's going to be, you're still going to have to give up something.
Right, sure.
It's not a coffee this time around.
Right. What would I have to give up to buy my way out of that wager?
A couple lunches and some crumble cookies?
Oh.
Hell yeah!
I mean, you bring it in anyway, right?
Well, James, there ain't no chance in that I take that offer. So I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
I'm going down with this ship with Teddy Bridgewater. I still think it's going to be him, and I might be the last one on this boat, but I just see too many scenarios where it's going to be Teddy over Drew. Now, how much will this game tomorrow night play a factor? I'm not sure. If Teddy falls on his face, obviously it's probably going to Drew. But I think if Teddy goes out there and plays good football, that he's still going to be the starter.
I think one of the interesting things that came up during the war room, you and I have been on different sides of this quarterback debate, battle, whatever you want to call it, throughout the offseason, throughout training camp and the preseason. We did agree on something related to this quarterback issue during the war room, and that was, and I'm going to paraphrase it, you tell me if I'm getting it right. I think Drew Lock is a better quarterback now than he was a year ago. I think Teddy Bridgewater being here and being a veteran influence and showing him how to do the job and just, you know, how to prepare and what all goes into it has played a role in that. I don't think it's been the competition. I think it's been a veteran presence that's done that. I think the same thing could have happened if Teddy would have come in as a backup and Drew Lock would have got 100% of the first team reps. I think that actually would have been a better equation. So Teddy Bridgewater has helped Drew Lock, but I don't think it's been the competition that's done it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what you said. I think that's spot on. I don't think that they could have just had, you know, Drew Lock 2.0. I mean, you just couldn't do it again. He played too bad last year. So you had to do something different. And if you wanted Drew Lock to be a part of the equation, at the least, it had to be a competition. And, you know, it's just Teddy Bridgewater. It's not like, oh, it's, you know, whatever quarterback and Drew Lock that you might could get a little bit more excited about than Teddy Bridgewater, who didn't have a great year last year. But I think the presence of a veteran guy there, I think his year last year is what's really really pushing him. And I think with a guy like Teddy that can, you know, he can watch and learn from. And just see how Teddy goes about his business day in and day out. It's huge for a young quarterback like Drew. So I think all those are positives. But, yeah, I mean, would it have been better to have a guy like that last year?
Yeah,
and said,
for sure.
Okay, now, Drew Lock, you're the starter. We didn't need a competition last year. That, to me, would have been the best plan. It didn't happen last year. And I think that really did hurt Drew on top of, you know, the no offseason stuff. If you had a veteran quarterback, at least that guy could have helped navigate Drew through a season that was a one of.
Well, and I'm with you. I think he did get hurt by not having a veteran quarterback as the backup last year. That said, I was fine with what they went with because I thought if they'd had a veteran behind him last year, I didn't trust that Vic Fangio would stick with Drew Lock. And to some extent, that's played out because what do we hear throughout this quarterback competition from the people who think it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater? Well, that's where Vic's going to go because he wants conservative. He wants a guy he can count on. He's trying to win games. The same thing would have happened last year. If they'd had Teddy Bridgewater on the roster last year and Drew Lock goes out and throws four picks at Vegas, he ain't starting the next game.
Right.
Which is not what they needed. They needed Drew Lock to play as many games as possible. They didn't need to say, oh, okay, he had a bad game. Let's pull the plug and throw the veteran in there. I didn't trust Vic Fangio to make that decision for the big picture, which is the same scenario they're in this year, right? Do you trust Vic Fangio to make that decision for what's in the best interest of the organization? It sets up for an interesting scenario tomorrow night in Seattle. I expect both quarterbacks to play well again.
I do, too.
I think they both played really, really well in Minnesota. I thought Drew Lock was great. I thought Teddy was really good. I think to downplay that would be unfair. I think we'll probably see that sort of flip tomorrow. I don't know that Teddy, though, can be better against the Seahawks than what Drew did when he got a chance with the quote-unquote ones in Minnesota. That's why I don't know that Teddy Bridgewater can win this job. That's why I think maybe this prop has come off the board.
Yeah, I don't think that Teddy's going to go out there and be better than what we saw from Drew. I think this coaching staff knows who they want already. I don't think it's going to change because of tomorrow night. I don't think that you're going to have a quarterback go out there and you know, throw two interceptions and all of a sudden lose the job. I think they already know which one. I don't know which way. You know, maybe they're leaning towards Drew, and if they are, their mind won't be changed because of what he does tomorrow night. If it's Teddy, their mind won't be changed because of that. So just make the decision, make the call, and let us know on Monday who it is. That's best for your team. It's best for your organization to have one guy, one voice leading that offense and get everybody rallied around that guy to move forward and try to, you know, win some games in September. That's pretty important, James, especially this year. So I think whichever guy it is, they know. Make the decision on Monday and let everybody know, let the world know this is your guy and we're getting ready for the New York Giants. That's what they need to do. And that's what's most important. Don't screw around with this thing. You know, ultimately,
I'm not so sure they're not going to.
I don't trust it right now. I'm just saying that, you know, I hope they don't. I hope they don't. They could. But I think if they do that and they mess around with this thing like that, it's going to come back and bite them. And they're going to go 1-2 in September because they were playing silly games.
Yeah, and I think the only way that option goes off the table is if Teddy Bridgewater goes out tomorrow night and plays poorly. Right? If he plays poorly and you've had each guy get one start, and Drew Lock was great. And I get it, it was 7 passes. But he was 5-7, 151 yards and 2 touchdowns. He led 3 really good drives. All right, one of them ended at the 2-yard line. The other 2 ended in the end zone. If he played really well in his start and Teddy Bridgewater, you know, falls on his face, it's pretty hard to make the argument of we need to keep this thing going, right? We already talked yesterday about Tyler Palumbis' Twitter poll, the unofficial Twitter poll, but 8 out of 9 Broncos fans want Drew Lock. So if that's your evidence in front of you, boy, it's tough to keep it going.
Live from Brothers Barbecue off I-25 in Arapahoe, it's Stokely and Zach. Here's Brandon Stokely and in for Zach by today, DenverFan.com's James Marillac.
So, Stoke, I think we cut out there right before we went to break. So I was setting up the story that I wanted to talk about last night up in Boulder. During all the weather that we were dealing with, right? When we were leaving yesterday, we were having to do tornado warnings, and you were, you know, heading down south right into the teeth of it. I was heading up north into the other end of it. I mean, there's a lot of crazy weather going on. Well, up in Boulder, the CU women's soccer team was facing the CSU women's soccer team.
Okay.
So they get through halftime. They're in the 50th minute, and the Buffs, not surprisingly, are up 3-0, right? They're just rolling. They're cruising. Lightning delay, you know, they fire the horns, everybody's got to go in. And they come back out and try again, another lightning delay, they have to go back in. The weather finally clears.
Right, yeah, because it cleared and it was beautiful.
It was fine,
where I was.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's typical Colorado in the summer, right? Every afternoon the thunderstorms roll in, it's bad for like 30 minutes to an hour, and then it's fine, right? So if you can just wait it out, you can get back at it. Well, the CSU players refused to come off their bus. They're down 3-0. They won't come back out and finish the game. And the CU players are out in the parking lot chanting, get off the bus. Get off the bus.
You're kidding.
Get off the bus. They won't get off the bus.
They won't get off the bus.
Now, here's why. They then cite a rule that if the game doesn't finish within 3 hours of the start,
right.
I believe is the rule, and I'm paraphrasing it,
yeah.
Then it's null and void and you get to start over.
Oh,
so they start back
they
over.
They went to the Dean Smith four corners technique.
No, it's just a we don't even want to we want a redo. That's what they're playing the mulligan.
Right, but if they stall long enough, then they get a redo.
Yeah,
right.
So they refused to get off the bus and play the game and finish the game because they were down 3-0, and trying to invoke some technicality, some rule that I guarantee you nobody but whoever came up with this idea knew about, and trying to get the game restarted, play it today. 0-0, start from scratch. The Buffs told them to
get off the bus.
Yeah.
Well,
get
so
off the bus.
What ended up happening?
They were going to play this morning at 10. Then CU told them, nope, no thanks, we're good. And they're trying to reschedule, get another opponent. So I think the game will just be like it never happened.
Well, but listen. Where's the referee in all this? So if the weather's fine, you know, you said this was soccer, right?
Yep.
Weather's fine. Get Mr. Soccer Ref, right? He's the one. You're the captain of this ship, right?
Yep.
You're calling the shot. You get out there and say, hey, we're ready to play ball. Are y'all coming off the bus to play ball? No? Okay, well, then y'all are forfeiting this match.
The
so
game is
it's
over.
One way or the other. You can't let a team just, you know, run the show. They're not running the show. It's like, hey, it's time to play ball. It's like an umpire. All right, time to play ball. If you're not going to come out of the dugout,
then
guess what? You forfeit, you lose. Congratulations, CU. You've won. You can't put the stall technique and stay on the stinking bus. Hey,
I'm with
come
you.
On.
I'm with
I
you.
I mean, that's smart, you know, but at the same time, it's a little bit like
is it though?
You lose a little bit of respect for that.
Yeah.
You got to compete. And you're getting your butt whipped. I don't know. I don't like that, though, James.
I don't like it at all. Look, I'm a CU guy, so I find it hysterical. And anytime anybody from CSU says anything to me from now on, my response is going to be, hey, at least we got off the bus.
That's right.
Right? Texas beat us 70-3 in the Big 12 title game. Hey, at least we got off the bus.
Yes.
We showed up.
It's a bad look.
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
And is it smart? I guess to know the rules and play them to your advantage, but it just feels like – it doesn't feel like the spirit of competition.
Where's the ref?
That's a very good question.
Like, you go up to the coach. You say, hey, coach, this is what's going to happen. It's game time. It's beautiful outside. The sun's out. We're going to finish this thing.
Yeah.
If y'all don't want to get off the bus and compete, then y'all will forfeit. That's what you do. So where was this ref at?
That's a great question. We'll try to get to the bottom of it. As a competitor, though, if you were on the team that was down 3-0, would you want to get the restart because of this technicality and play today at 0-0, or would you want to just go out and, like, let's go finish. Let's try and do this thing. Wouldn't it kind of sit bad with you if you got a chance to mulligan it?
I'd want to get the restart. I'm down 3-0, James. I'm not dumb. I mean, come on. Like, what?
It's not
what
the answer I wanted from you.
I know it's not really the answer I want to say, but, I mean, seriously, that, like, I'm losing 3-0 in soccer. I'm not going to win, right? So, of course I want to restart this thing over. But I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. I don't think you should be able to stall and get that opportunity. You know, it's somebody's got to take control. And where's that person at? That, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at here. But what I want to get the redo, of course, I'm losing 3-0.
It's a really bad look for sure.
Oh, so it is. It is a bad look.
We are efforting some of the audio from that. I know I talked to Tyler this morning, a fellow Buff. He loved the story as well, right? Because, hey, our team was ready to go.
And they were chanting, get off the bus.
I think that's pretty perfect. So, hey, another topic that we talked about during the war room that I thought was interesting was the idea that Pat Surtain, Javonte Williams, first-round pick, second-round pick for the Broncos this year, both of which have played really, really well in training camp and during the preseason. They've looked good. Are they being stunted a bit by the fact that they have veterans ahead of them on the depth chart that are making a lot of money, specifically Melvin Gordon ahead of Javonte Williams and Ronald Darby or Kyle Fuller ahead of Pat Surtain? Do you think this is one of those situations where they're going to make a decision on who gets to start and who plays based on money? Or do you think they should look at it and say, hey, these two young guys, they're going to be here for a while. We need to force them onto the field. What's sort of your sense on this topic?
I think there's positives for both guys. I mean, you know, you look at Javonte Williams, he's an early second-round pick. So you want to play your early second-round pick. Now, obviously, Melvin Gordon's making more money, a lot of money. You want to play that guy. So there's nothing wrong with playing Javonte Williams. It's not like he was a fifth-round pick. The same thing with Pat Surtain. Yeah, you have guys making a lot of money in the secondary, but you pick Pat Surtain in the top 10. Yeah, and you're paying them a lot of money. So there is no wrong answer here. They can take their time with both guys. When these guys are ready to go, you can throw them out there, but you don't have to force these guys out there and put them in bad situations early in their career. I love that option for them. And when they're ready to go, then you can play them. So I think the Broncos are in a great situation with their two young, talented, you know, first and second round draft pick this year where they don't have to force them out there and play them too early.
I think of the two, and this isn't surprising, he was the number 9 overall pick. I think Pat Surtain is more ready to go. He could start week one and wouldn't miss a beat, right? Like, he's looked really, really good in camp. Obviously, in the preseason game against the Vikings, he had the pick six, so he played really well. You know, have we really seen a lot out of Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, or Bryce Callahan down at camp that has wowed you? Not really.
No.
They didn't play in the first game, so we didn't get a chance there either. So, like, yeah, he and Justin Simmons are the two best defensive backs on the field every single practice. They jump out at you. That one I could see happening, and I would be fine with. I don't think Javonte Williams, and he had a great game up in Minnesota. He looked really good. But I think in terms of at camp, Melvin Gordon's come in like a guy who's, you know, playing for his next contract and motivated. He looks great. And Javonte Williams, you also have the situation of, hey, that's a guy that's a rookie that has to be able to help in, you know, blitz pickup and all those kind of things. And have we had a chance to see at training camp or in a preseason game where it's pretty vanilla that he's ready for that? I think it's a bigger leap for him to be ready at the start of the year to jump right into the starting lineup.
Yeah, it's you know, I think when you look at all the little things a running back has to do besides run the football, so especially on third down situations, you probably won't be seeing Javonte Williams early in the season. That's usually when those exotic blitzes happen, and you really have to be on top of your pickups. But Melvin Gordon looks great. You're right. He looks great. I can't wait to see him run and see what it looks like. And we didn't see him a week ago. Not sure if we'll see him at all in any preseason games. But I think I'm excited about him also. And the depth that they have is a positive here.
Well, it is, but one of the things I think they have to avoid is the mistake they made at the start of last season where they went with essentially co-starting running backs, right? We're going to give Phillip half the carries. We're going to get Melvin half the carries. I don't think it benefited either one of them. I don't think either one of them had a chance at that point to, you know, kind of get the lather going and to get into the game. And I think running backs, especially if you're a workhorse back, you need to get 20, 25 carries and not stand on the sideline for a couple series and then try and come back in. So even though Javonte Williams, I think, is going to be a really good player, I think they need to avoid that that temptation.
Yeah, I think early on it's going to be Melvin.
I think early on a lot of Melvin Gordon. Barring an injury, I think that's the way it's going to go as well. All right, what is going to happen tomorrow night in Seattle, preseason game number 2? Stoke and I will break it down coming up next.
Live from Brothers Barbecue off I-25 in Arapahoe, it's Stokely and Zach.
Here's Brandon Stokely. Here's Zach by today, DenverFan.com's James Merrill.
Broncos Seahawks tomorrow night, preseason game number 2. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, so a late one, Stoke. We'll be up charting Brett Rippon passes, you know, way into the night. But I am interested to see how the first and second quarterbacks look in the game. As we head into it, any sense kind of how this is going to unfold? You know, looking into the crystal ball, what are you seeing tomorrow night up in Seattle?
I mean, I'm interested to see a lot of things when you look at Seattle. Who are they going to play? You know, will it be better competition?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping so. You know, I want to see what this first group can do, what Teddy Bridgewater can do against good competition. We didn't see good competition last week.
We did not.
Right?
I mean, think that's a fair way to put it. We did not. We did not see a bunch of guys that will be out there for the Vikings in week
right.
one.
And that's also, you know, because Teddy now is going up against the threes and the fours. You know, Drew's going up against twos and threes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's both quarterbacks didn't see good competition, not just Drew Locke. So both quarterbacks benefited from bad competition. So I'm hoping to see better competition and see what these quarterbacks look like. See how Teddy responds. I thought he responded in a big way against Minnesota. I mean, that's pressure. I mean, you go watch that other guy go out there, the guy you're competing with, and do what Drew did. And now, hey, what are you going to do? If you throw an interception or two, this thing could be over. I thought he handled himself nicely. I want to see what he looks like tomorrow night. But also, how does Drew bounce back? Both guys didn't look good in practice this week.
Yeah.
Both guys had their struggles and issues in practice. It wasn't a good week of practice for the quarterback. So what do they look like on game day? Can they have the type of performance that we saw last week?
Yeah, no, and I expect that they both will. I do think both of them will have a little bit higher level of competition than in reverse that they faced last week, right? I think Teddy will face more competition than Drew faced, and I think Drew will face more competition than Teddy faced. So I think that all kind of evens out. I do think Teddy can eliminate himself from this competition tomorrow. I think if he plays poorly, I think it's over. I think if he plays really, really well, and he has to play really, really well, it can't be, I don't know, 7 of 12 for 68 yards and a couple of field goals. I don't think that gets it done. I think at that point the competition is over. But I think if he leads a couple of scoring drives, maybe has a big player too. It doesn't have to be an 80-yard touchdown, but just something that shows, hey, this has got some big play potential with Teddy at the helm too. I think this thing could drag out into week 3. We talked about it earlier. That would be preposterous, but the whole thing has been preposterous, so I'm just expecting it to go that route. I'm just expecting it to go down the path of it's going to drag out, and Vic Fangio is going to keep this going, and if both quarterbacks play well, particularly Teddy Bridgewater. I think if Drew struggles tomorrow, I don't think it really matters as much. I think he had such a good showing when he was with the ones. I think it would continue a second time.
I disagree with you because of Drew's history and how bad he was last year. And if he goes out there and he's showing that same old that he showed last year, I think we saw Pat Shurmur's frustration with him in practice.
We
saw it when he wasn't going through the reads, when he was holding the football too long, when he didn't see the field like he should have saw the field. If he reverts back to that, I think it could go to Teddy on Monday or Tuesday. Regardless, I can't wait to watch this thing play out and the decision. And I've been saying this for a month. Monday is the drop down deadline. Make the decision. Either way, either guy, Monday needs to be D-Day. It needs to be the day that you make the call.
If they do make the decision on Monday, And then you have the entire week to get ready for the third preseason game with your starting quarterback. Do you play the ones at all in that game just as a little, hey, let's see what we look like as a group?
Yeah.
Because tomorrow night, right, we'll probably see Garrett Bowles. We'll probably see Dalton Risner, so they'll be on the field. Will we see Cortland Sutton? My guess is no.
I would say no.
But we would essentially get a chance to see the entire starting offense, but it would be with Teddy. It wouldn't be with Drew. So if Drew wins the job, then...
Can I have my pen back, please? Thank you.
You're
going to try to steal it. I don't know. I don't like, you know, virus is still around. I haven't seen you wash your hand, and we've been doing the show for a couple days now.
I mean, no offense. If I'm going to steal something from you, it ain't going to be the 82-cent Bic pen.
That's a super grip pen. That's 99 cents.
Okay, it ain't going to be the 99-cent super grip
pen. I'm talking about the
pen.
Germs on your hand.
I had to write myself a note here.
Okay, okay.
You know,
but you were holding tight on that thing. You were going to walk out with it. Show's almost over. I know how you roll, Marilat. You've already stolen one or two of those from
me. Nate Jackson borrowed the pen. You didn't give him any grief. I borrow the pen, and all of a sudden, it's a whole
like
issue.
I said, look out your hands. I don't know when the last time you washed them things.
Turn a bad
reputation
here.
Put some soap on them things.
What the heck are we talking about?
It's Friday, man. That's what we're talking about.
So I do think, though, that we'll get a chance to see more of the ones tomorrow. Cortland Sutton, no. Von
Last
Miller?
Game. No, Von, tomorrow, Cliss said that
he didn't want to play on turf.
Doesn't want to play. If he doesn't want to play on turf, I'm not playing him on turf right now.
But he plays week one on turf.
I don't care.
Do we care tomorrow? I guess it's a meaningless game. So
right, exactly.
If he doesn't want to,
we have another. We
there.
Have a whole another month to get him ready to go. We can get him on the turf in the indoor facility, right, and run through some things and like light practice at his own speed to get him comfortable. I'm not playing Von Miller at all in training camp in preseason games. I don't care if he wants to play. I wouldn't play him. He's too valuable. We saw the loss and the impact it had last year. I'd put Bradley Chubb out there a little bit.
You would tomorrow night?
At one of these games. Okay. I'd play him a little bit. He hasn't done enough in this league to kind of for me to say you don't need some work in. It depends on the guy and the situation. But I think the third preseason game, you just got to be cautious, man. And I think Vic will take the cautious approach with most guys.
I think Vic, based on what he said this week, I think he's going to treat the third preseason game like teams used to treat the third preseason game, which is the dress rehearsal. I don't think he's going to treat it like it's the final preseason game and nobody plays, because then it's a three-week stretch where your starters haven't been on the field, and when they were on the field, they didn't play much. And then you're going to go 3 weeks before the opener. I think he likes the two-week gap. So I do think we'll see some guys held out again tomorrow night. Wouldn't shock me, to be honest, if Garrett Bowles, Dalton Risner, some of those guys didn't play either, just to make it as even Steven as possible.
Sure.
Right? Teddy's working with the exact same group that Drew worked with.
I don't think he's looking at it from that perspective, though.
Okay.
If guys are ready to play, they're going to play.
I tend to go with the Sean McVay approach to this. If it were me, I wouldn't play any of them in any of the games.
Yeah.
If you know they're making the team and you know what they can do, there's all kinds of downside and not a whole heck of a lot of upside to playing them. But if you're going to play them, I would play them at home, and I would play them on grass, and I would play them 2 weeks from the opener, not 3 weeks from the opener. So I think tomorrow night we have a chance of seeing a very similar setup to what we saw in Minnesota. I don't think Seattle's going to play a lot of their starters. There's got to be a reason why the Broncos are a 5.5-point road favorite tomorrow.
Right.
I know they played well in Minnesota.
Will Russell Wilson play at
exactly.
all? We'll see. But that third preseason game, that's going to be the interesting one, because I'm expecting them to make the call on the quarterback spot. The quarterback this week, and then so do you play the guys, like you're saying, into the third quarter or until halftime with that starting quarterback and say, this is our group, let's get ready to go? Or do you just say, you know what, hey, we're just going to use this time and get better on the practice field? That's what's going to be interesting to me.
Well, and it's where the whole conversation we've had about split reps comes in, right? If you've had your starter all preseason, all training camp, you don't have to play him in that third preseason game. But because you haven't, now you're looking at it and saying, hey, we got to put everybody at risk one more time to go play a half so they can get some time together, because we've wasted a lot of time with another quarterback during the first 3 or 4 weeks of camp in the preseason. All right, I know it's a little bit silly because it's a preseason game, but we got to get your prediction. What do you think happens?
Well, I think the Broncos win. I think the Broncos continue to look good like we saw against Minnesota. I think they got depth. I don't know who Minnesota's playing. Minnesota, Seattle. I don't know if they're playing Russell Wilson or any of their starters. I don't know if Metcalf is playing.
Right.
So I know some of the Broncos are going to be playing, so I'm going with the Broncos. I'm going with the Broncos 27-10.
I'm very much with you. I think the Broncos have something on the line, and it's the quarterback battle. I think Seattle is playing for absolutely nothing, just trying to avoid getting injuries and just, you know, trying to get out of there unscathed. So I think the Broncos win as well, just to make a little variety here. Mm-hmm. I think the offense is going to be good again. I'm going to go 31-14.
Okay.
Broncos. So same margin. I think both teams are going to put up a few more points. So, hey, this was a lot of fun the last hour. The entire time down here at Brothers Barbecue on I-25 in Arapahoe was great for the war room. It got a little heated, but that was fun. That made it interesting.
It wasn't either one of us.
You and I. Yeah. I mean, if I'm ever involved in a panel and I'm not the one that's, you know, making someone mad, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
That's a success for me. So it was good. We appreciate them having us down
great
here.
Barbecue.
I'm sure we will be doing more and more of them as the season goes on. Stoke, have a good weekend.
You too, buddy.
And keep it right here. The Drive is coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.